You have me sing, that'll cause me to preach less. You might think that. It won't, I'll promise you. That's right. It just fires me up more. I love that. I love the music, the songs that we get to sing together. And that time, just even if you don't sing, if you just kind of meditate on the words and you think about all that's going on and everything that's in your life, and you just have that, you know, few songs that we sing together, I praise God for that. So let me go ahead and pray, and I'll get started, okay? Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you so much for this time. We pray that you will move me over out of the way and people would grow to know you more, that I would lift up you and your word, Jesus himself. It's in his name we pray. Well, today I want to continue that Sermon on the Plain of Jesus. And he kind of wraps it up here with a nice way of, I like to think that he's talking about being an attractive Christian, being somebody who welcomes people in. So what's at the heart of being a disciple of Jesus? And so I kept pondering that thought as I went through this text this week. And it's interesting how he sets it up. I don't know if other people would do this when they'd come across this text, but I'm going to just spend time on those first couple of verses and then let the rest of the sermon kind of flow out of that, and you'll understand what I'm talking about here in a second. But I sometimes wonder if I'm somebody who would be an attractive Christian, because you'd look at me and I'm pretty bland, right? Pretty same old. I'm not, there's not much to look at. Actually, there's too much to look at. That's kind of my problem. But there's something about this person that I want to be that shines the light of Jesus everywhere I go. And so when I walk into a room, I want it to be that people know there's something different there. There's something that's different for this guy than there is for other people. There's something that sets him apart. In fact, that's literally what it means to be a Christian. It means to be set apart. When we talk about the word holy just means to be set apart, to look differently, to be something different than what the rest of the world is. And so when I look at Jesus' teaching and his heart to say, I want you to look like me, and I want you to follow me, then here's just a few things I want you to do. This is what it looks like, the heart of a disciple. What that looks like to be a follower of Jesus and to call ourselves that and to walk with him and to have that be who we are. There's four things that Jesus says actually in this text. There's four different pictures of being a disciple, characteristics I could say, that I would say Jesus wants you to have at the end of his sermon after talking about all that he's talked about. Last week we talked about loving people, loving even our enemies. We've talked about what it looks like to be a blessed person, to look differently than the rest of the world, to not have those same thoughts of the world, but to be separate, to come out from among them and look differently. And today we've got these four commands from Jesus, and each one of them that you'll see in the first couple of verses here have kind of a corollary characteristic, a consequence, I guess you could say, to each one. And so I find that interesting how Jesus shares these. So I want to read them to us, and then we'll continue on, okay? Here's the four that Jesus says. It's from Luke chapter 6, starting verse 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. Jesus shares these. This is what he says. Luke 6, 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. You notice all four of these and the kind of corollary consequence that goes with them and the picture of it all. I think there's a reason Jesus does this. And then he just expands on each one of them the rest of this sermon. I think he takes each one and he pulls it out and he talks about it a little bit more of what it means. So I'm going to do that too. I want to talk first off about that first one. Do you see it there? Do not judge, or you will be judged. Oh, this is probably one of the world's favorite verses, right? They love to take it and use it for their own good, I guess you could say, or what they think is their own good, to say that Jesus doesn't want you to ever speak to somebody or convict other people. You just want to let everybody do their own thing. You know, you as a Christian, you can walk and do whatever you want, and you should never be called out. You should never be challenged to walk closer to Jesus. You know, don't let that happen, because then if that's happening, then you're just judging me. Jesus says, do not judge. You will not be judged. And we like to use this out of context in a way that says, I don't ever have to be told by anybody that I'm wrong. That's not what this means. What I think Jesus is coming down to is just in light of what he just talked about, loving our enemies, coming with a spirit of love, that there's a point where you judge with a spirit of love, not a spirit of anger, hatred, or putting down somebody. Because there are other scriptures that I could talk about, talking about how you should judge those within the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, Paul says those exact things. In fact, he says you shouldn't judge those outside of the church, but those within the church, those are who you are supposed to be judging. And it's kind of interesting that he would do that, right? If that's the case, Jesus says, don't ever say anything, don't ever convict anybody, don't ever be a part of that. But there's something deeper here. What I think is really coming down to it is the fruit of other people and looking at that fruit. And if you look down in Luke chapter 6 a little bit, Jesus tells a story, I think, about judging. If you look down to verse 43 with me, verse 43 of chapter 6, it says this: no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good person brings good things out of the good stored up in their heart, and an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks out of what the heart is full of. Here's where Jesus is talking about different trees, different fruit. And it seems like to me, Jesus is making a judgment call about each one, and he would want you to do this too. If it's a good tree, it's going to bear good fruit. It's going to be that attractive heart. It's going to be that draws you in, and it's got the goodness of it. The fruit just, you know, it's like that. It's like eating a pineapple on a hot summer day, or a watermelon. Man, nothing better than that, is there? Just chopping up a watermelon and eating that on a hot summer day, and oh yeah, just enjoying that time. It's like that juice just running down. If that's a good tree, it proves it by the fruit that it bears. So see, what I think Jesus is trying to tell you is that you can judge people by the fruits that they bear. Because if they are bearing good fruit, then you can recognize them as a follower of Jesus. If they're bearing bad fruit, here's where it comes in. You make a judgment call. I need to speak to you. I need to come alongside of you. I need to do it with a love in my heart for you. I need to spend time with you. I need to connect with you. I think this will even become more clear in what Jesus says in this passage a little later too. But Luke chapter 6, he says that, do not judge and you will not be judged. He says, do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Boy, I like that one. That's a heavier one than judgment, isn't it? It's judging people's guilt. It's judging whether people are going to hell or not. It's actually speaking a condemnation over people. You know, there's something heavier about that. And Jesus saying, don't judge people's guilt. Don't condemn people, and you won't be condemned. So if the judgment is there, but you condemn, then there's something else that needs to be said. Don't Don't destroy them. Don't crush them. Don't send them into hell by your own words. Don't put those destruction words into their life. Don't condemn anyone. And Jesus' heart is wrapped up in loving. You think about, when I thought about condemning something, I think about buildings. Think about houses. If you have a house that's condemned, you just, you know, it's a bad place to go. It's not safe, right? You don't want to go in there. It's really pointless. It needs to be destroyed, right? It's interesting then Jesus tells this story. Verse 46 of chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So maybe Jesus is thinking about that idea of condemnation in light of the wise and foolish builders. You see, both of these builders have something in common. They both draw near to Jesus. They both listen to hear what he has to say. The only thing that separates the two is that one of them practices what he talks about. Actually puts into practice the words of Jesus. Do you notice that? That's why Jesus says this. He says, the one who comes to me hears my words and puts them into practice. And then you have the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice. So they're both coming to Jesus. They're both there. But one of them is not really listening. Is not really putting them into practice. Is not walking the faithfulness of a disciple. Is not being a follower of Jesus truthfully. And that leads to condemnation. The building falling, getting beaten down by the storm, the flood rising, and winds blowing, and it causes a horrible mess. And so our call is to be those who are built on the rock, who have a firm foundation, who trust in Christ, who walk with him. We don't judge, we don't condemn. This next one Jesus says, he says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Something about this idea of forgiveness that draws me to what he says in verse 41 and 42. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I could say sister's eye too. Whatever it is, if you think about it, we need to clear out our own mess. We've got a plank in our own eye, and we want to take the speck out of our brother or sister's eye. This idea of forgiveness, we need to embrace and accept this love and grace that God has given to us, because He has forgiven us. In Ephesians, it has this wonderful phrase, forgive just as Christ God forgave you. There's this passionate plea for disciples of Jesus. If you're going to have a heart of a disciple, you have to have a heart of forgiveness. You have to learn to love people. You have to be willing to admit your own faults, to look at your own self and check out when you point the finger that three more are pointing back at you. To check yourself first, to look at your own soul, your own heart, What needs to be cleaned out of my space before I can speak to my brother or sister? What is it that I need to transform in my own life? What is it that the Holy Spirit needs to work in my own heart? And that's what Jesus is trying to get at. Learn to love, learn to forgive, learn to be there for each other, learn to encourage one another. Jesus has a passion for people recognizing the wonderful forgiveness that we've already been given and showing that to other people. He tells another story one time about a person who's had this great big debt, this massive amount of stuff that they've got in their life, and it's just, it's overwhelming. And that is, they're locked up in prison and then forgiven. You have no debt at all. But then they think about the person who owes them just a little bit. And they go grab that person and they lock them in prison and they don't let them have the same mercy that they've been shown. And Jesus' heart is for us to say, we want to be those who show mercy because we've been shown mercy. Think about the life that you lived or the life that you are living that is not walking with Christ. If you think about how big His forgiveness is, how much He loves you, how much He gives you His grace, and you recognize this is God who gives me something that I don't deserve. I'm so glad God gives us stuff that we don't deserve. Because what I deserve sometimes isn't very good. But He gives us grace. He forgives us. He shows us love. And that's what He says you ought to do. If you're going to be Jesus' disciple, what requires of being Jesus' disciple is that you forgive just like Jesus forgave. How hard that is. The next thing He says is give. And it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. What does it mean to have a heart of a disciple? It means to give like God gave for you. I've heard that phrase so many times. There's no way you can outgive God. And it's true. So what's really intriguing to me is those people who think they could take this scripture verse and say, I can give my money to God and do you hear what God's going to do? He's going to give me money back, more stuff back. The interesting thing is that's not the heart of a disciple. The picture of giving is we already are behind payments. It's already God's. Every penny that I have. And so I think, man, I just have to give it all to God. I have to use it to bless others, to use it to minister to people, to come alongside those people and recognize that sometimes I'm blind, but I need God's light. I need His vision. I need my teacher to guide me. I'm not being led by a blind teacher. I'm a disciple of the one who sees all. And so there's something about this that makes me think about the idea of giving. And it's much deeper than just my money. It's also about my time, my encouragement to other people. How well do I reflect that? How much do I give to others? How much do I bless others? This isn't some get-rich-quick scheme. It's not something to think about like that. I do like how Jesus talks about it, though. He talks about how it's a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The picture there is of the of thinking about when you get a cup full of grain and you kind of situate it so that more can get in there. It can be pressed down, it can be shaken so that it all falls into a right spot and you can keep adding, and then that'll keep overflowing. That's how God gives to us. That's God's heart for us. And so there's something about this heart of giving that makes me think about my teacher, my master, my Messiah. And if I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, then I want to do exactly what it says right there, that I'm not above my teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Wouldn't that be great? To be a disciple of Jesus means exactly that, that I look like Jesus. So if I think about if I'm an attractive Christian, if I'm an attractive person to draw people to Jesus, my heart is really a heart of a disciple, here's a few characteristics I need to judge myself by. Am I judging? Am I criticizing people with anger and hate in my heart? Am I condemning others? Am I putting others down? Am I forgiving others? Am I giving to others? Do I recognize that there's more to what I have than I just think in my own world, in my own mind? And am I really being a person whose foundation is solid? A tree that's bearing the right fruit? Am I really being a person who recognizes the plank in my eye and I've removed that? Am I really being a person who is that wonderful soul that looks like my teacher? Do I really look like my master? The picture of a disciple is that you are covered in the dust of your leader. You know why that is? Because when you think about a disciple walking and journeying with Jesus, the steps of Jesus, the dust from his sandals flying up as he's walking, steps that he's making, you walk so closely to him that you absorb all that dirt. That's my thought. If you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to look like Jesus, how close are you to him? How drawn near to him are you? How much do you walk with him every day? How much do you put in your own heart to walk in the light as he is in the light? How much is it that you are attracting others to a relationship of Christ? And that this isn't just something that you hide on Sunday mornings and then you can show that, you can put on that mask on Sunday mornings and then the rest of the week you can take it off. Because a true disciple of Jesus looks like him every single day. And walks with him every single day. They're challenged by his words to love people, even loving our enemies. We're challenged to think about ourselves and pull out the planks in our own eye and the mess that we have in our own hearts. We have to work on our own souls. That's why Paul writes in Philippians, he says, continue to work out your salvation. There's a side for us and a side for God. God does this act and we follow and we change as well. Discipleship is that. It's twofold. God works on our heart and we work on our heart. We trust God, we follow him, and we get covered in his dust. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you right now thanking you so much for this day, for this time that we've had to think on your word, to think on your love, to think about your grace and how much you care for us. Father, we are so thankful for this message, these challenging things for us to work on in our own lives, and just the past 3 weeks of learning more about what Jesus calls us to. Some of the words have been tough for us to hear. But Father, we ask that you would continue to work on our hearts, that we would look more and more like you. We ask that you would help us to walk with you. We pray that you will continue to give us your grace and your love, your mercy. We thank you that your mercies are new every day. We're lost without you, Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.